You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
It's just gone 6:30. If you're tuning in, you're listening to the SAFM Market Update with MoneyWeb. I'm your host, Jimmy Moyaha, and we're taking a look at the South African Post Office. They've been in the news throughout the year for various reasons, and most recently the fact that they are currently under business rescue. We thought we'd take a look at the state of the Post Office and see if we can get an understanding of it before we all go off on our festive breaks. I'm joined on the line by Anush Ruplal, who is the business rescue practitioner responsible for the South African Post Office, to take a look at the business and get a sense of where it is at the moment. Good evening, Anush. Thanks so much for taking the time. As we stand today, do we have a post office?
Good evening, Jimmy. Good evening to your listeners. Thank you for having me on the show. Yes, so we still have a post office. I think that's critical to understand. It has been in financial distress. We're still not out of the woods yet. But I think what it has to offer is, you know, it's of incredible value. And if we could just take a couple of seconds to expand on that. You know, when we started off as business rescue practitioners in July of last year, there was a lot of work ahead of us. And in that application that was made by the shareholder to the High Court to bring it out of liquidation, provisional liquidation, and into business rescue, at that point, government had committed funding of 2.4 billion and 3.8 billion. So we've done a lot of work. It was quite a busy year, a very difficult one at that, but also very fulfilling at the same time. What we had done was to compromise with creditors, which effectively removed or reduced liabilities of 8.7 billion rand that was on the balance sheet to now under to that being under 400 million rands. With the unfortunate retrenchments of over 4,800 people, we now have saved the post office over 1.2 billion rand per annum, which is currently already accruing to the post office. So, you know, those are some of the big ticket items that we've done to kind of remove a lot of the debt that was becoming the stranglehold on the post office. Then if we look at, you know, what we have going forward, we've rationalized branches. We've got a fantastic network of 657 branches, over 300 depots, and mail centers in all of the major provinces, okay? Add to that, we're the mandated custodian of the National Address Database. We have a property portfolio of over 1.7 billion rand on the balance sheet, 2,000 postmen on the ground every day. You know, even though we've closed post offices, we've got a 90% coverage across the country. So I think what's important here, and to answer your question, you know, no other state-owned entity has this sort of physical reach and service reach that exist in the country at the moment. I'll maybe stop there for the question.
Anush, you said something very interesting around the creditor side of it, from 8.7 billion rand to around 440 million rand. Take me through that creditor's compromise, because that is a significant amount. That is a savings of more than 8.2 billion rand. What happened there? What was the restructuring? What was the compromise?
Yeah, so that's the thank you, and that's a great question, because for us that was the biggest challenge. The post office was over indebted. It was choking the entity. For the entity to have any chance of survival, we had to go back to the drawing board with all creditors who were owed obviously all these sums of money. We had to compromise with them, and by that we end up with an agreement where we would pay them 12 cents in the rand. Which means, you know, the bulk of the creditors agreed to write off 88% of their money, which is significant. There is another class of creditors. We refer to them as a statutory and payroll class of creditors. They are owed another 18 cents to the land, and which is due to come from the 3.8 billion funding or commitment that government had made. And obviously, we can only pay that once we get the money. So it was a very tough process. Obviously, creditors voted on the business rescue plan, which entailed the rescue, the compromise rather. And this is how we managed to alleviate all of the debt. And what's important, it's South Africans, eh? Because we put this debt-free entity back, or virtually debt-free entity back into the hands of government, which is for the benefit of South Africans and taxpayers at the end of the day.
Anush, let's look at the job side of it. We obviously, as a result of that Section 189, lost a lot of jobs. And a lot can be said around that part of the process, around to say, if we're able to save the entity, why weren't we able to save the jobs?
Yeah, so unfortunately, if you look at the history of the post office, so I think over the last 10 to 12 years, you know, I think the post office, there was a lot of trouble already being signaled from way back then. And there were certain chronic issues that the post office had. One of them, unfortunately, was a bloated workforce. And unfortunately, prior leaderships just never had the courage or the foresight to deal with this. It was unfortunate. You cannot have an entity that's bloated, especially in the landscape and the structural changes where post offices globally were already shifting from physical mail to digital mail. So past leadership missed that innovation curve. And unfortunately, it was not great, but we had to retrench 4,800 people in order to achieve savings, but in order to make the post office future fit. And that's where our digital strategy and the digital side of the strategy is very important, what we've basically been motivating to government and National Treasury to say that, hang on, we've got this very valuable piece of physical infrastructure. If you look at national priorities of the government right now, they talk about a digital economy for South Africa. So digital inclusion is important. Financial inclusion is important. And that's where we're saying, with the strategy that we've underpinned the businesses to plan with, this is where the potential lies with the intangible assets that the post office has.
I wonder how much of the restructuring on the jobs part had to do with the executive. You mentioned, Anush, that some of the executive in the past didn't have the necessary fortitude to make those decisions. But we didn't see too many executive cuts to wages for the board or anything of the sort. But I suppose we will get to that at another time. Anush, I want to look at what the business looks like going forward. What do we have now? We have a business that has less debt. What measures are you putting in place from a business rescue practitioner point of view to ensure that we don't go back down the same road, find ourselves undoing all of the work that you've put in, and find ourselves with an indebted SOE 2 years from now?
Yeah, so thank you. There's a lot of points to raise on this matter. Firstly, as business rescue practitioners, like I said, we are independent. So in terms, our mandate is governed in terms of the Companies Act. It prescribes what we have to do, and we've acted within that the precepts of that mandate. So being independent is actually a big advantage. It gives us, there's also a moratorium. In other words, other parties who feel they could sue the post office, those legal proceedings are stayed. It protects the post office during business rescue. There's a lot of other benefits. Now, the reason why I'm highlighting that is because, again, we've applied our minds independently by benchmarking the post office even against its global peers and so on. We've come up with that strategy, right? So the post office, like I said, then comprises of this valuable piece of infrastructure that we have, both physical and digital. It allows for other government departments to come in and utilize this piece of reach that we have, or not piece, this comprehensive reach of branches, branch network and so on. So other departments can now utilize this. There's no need to recreate branches by other government departments. And this is where the value is, because that those costs are now incurred. We refer to those as almost like sunk costs or fixed costs. Mm. There's potential for partnerships here. And that's where we've got to be very selective and clever about it, because, again, we've also seen partners and other types of partnerships that wants to exploit our misfortune. So that is why the 3.8 billion rand of funding or investment needs to come in, because we want to use the bulk of that money to fix up the infrastructure, which unfortunately, again, was also neglected by previous leaderships. So if you look at the 3.8 billion, we're saying there's about a 500 million rand that's owed to creditors, and that largely allows us to complete our business rescue plan. A billion of that is for working capital that the business needs going forward. And the rest of the money, really over 2 billion, is really literally for capital and infrastructure upgrades. So we need to pick up the courier and parcel side of the business, which has been neglected. We already bring physical mail. We want to bring in digital solutions and digital services for our customers. Wouldn't it be nice for citizens to go into any post office, transact on the normal post office services, but also be able to pick up a passport, pick up an ID document? Student, we want to give students and the rural areas, people that don't have access to an email, we want to give them an email address. We want to make that possible. We want to give them a digital vault so a student can upload his matric results. He doesn't have to print that, or she doesn't have to print that. Mm. And it allows for digital inclusion. Mm. So these are some of the very innovative aspects that's in our strategy that underpins the business rescue plan.
Mm. Before I let you go, Anush, I want to look at the governance side of that strategy. Obviously, there's going to come a time where you have to step away. Your job would have been done. There would be recommendations you would put in place. What recommendations are you putting in place from a governance perspective to ensure that there is better governance for an entity that we can clearly see historically hasn't been governed in the best manner?
Yeah, so I'll come back to the point that our roles, we are independent and our duties and responsibilities are governed by the Companies Act and the Competition, the Companies and Intellectual Properties Commission, the CIPC. So that's where we are firstly under, we have an obligation to make sure that there's sound governance and we report regularly to creditors, to our shareholder, to national treasury. So those mechanisms are in place. For us, business rescue is not intended to be an ongoing and forever an engagement because sometimes the longer an entity stays in business rescue, it becomes counterproductive. So it's not our intention to be here forever in the day. We really need the investment that government has committed, which will allow us to bring that money in, settle creditors, et cetera, and allow the entity to continue trading. And then we'll be able to discharge our obligations. But we want to do that in a responsible way where we can now work with the shareholder to create a new board of directors. Let's allow that board of directors to be appointed. There's a transition plan. And then we can and put this valuable set of assets back into the hands of government, so to speak.
Mm. Well, 2025 promises to be an interesting year. Hopefully it's a good year for the post office. We'll look to see how this story ends up. We'll leave the conversation there, Anoush. Thanks so much for the time and for the insights. Anoush Rooplal, business rescue practitioner, responsible for the South African post office's rescue efforts.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.